we have an applicant for admission. Mr. Pels, do you want to bring forward your applicant?
Thank you very much, Your Honor. My name is Joel Pels. It is my honor and privilege this morning to move the admission of Joseph Arias. Mr. Arias is a graduate of Cornell University. He graduated magna cum laude from the University of Illinois College of Law in 2002, became a member of the Illinois Bar in 2002, and we are honored to have him as an associate at Jenner & Block starting last fall. He will be arguing the eighth case today, Smith versus Winters, a matter in which this court appointed my partner, Mr. Levenstam, and Mr. Levenstam enlisted our assistance in that matter. So with that, Your Honor, we move the admission of Mr. Arias.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Pinoff and Mr. Arias. We're very happy to have you as a member of our bar and step to the court's bench. The oath will be administered. Okay, our first case for argument, the United States versus Melton, Mr. Clark.
Good morning, Your Honors, counsel. Your Honor, I represented Mr. Melton at trial, not at pretrial, but at trial, and representing Mr. Melton here. On December 7, 2000, the Metropolitan Bank in Chicago was robbed of several hundred dollars by a person who was caught on, or whose image was caught on a video camera. On the date of the robbery, a police officer testified that he had seen a man in a hooded sweatshirt, a black man in a hooded sweatshirt, in the area of Little Village near the Metropolitan Bank on the west side of Chicago, basically near 26th and California, had seen a black man in a hooded sweatshirt across from the bank on the day and just before the robbery. On December 18th, that same officer arrested a man going into a pawn shop who had on clothing which he said resembled the person that he had seen on December 7th. That man that was arrested was Alfred Melton. Alfred Melton was thereafter charged with bank robbery and taken into custody by the FBI. And when shown the bank surveillance photos, the FBI agent said to him that this looks like you, and Mr. Melton said, this looks like me, shaking his head no. Well, everybody has this twin, man. This looks like me, shaking his head at all times no. That statement was put into a report as, this looks like me, I guess everyone has this twin, and argued all the way through the trial and argued here on appeal that that was an admission by Mr. Melton, when in fact it was not. It was no more an admission than when someone says you killed your wife and a person says sure I did.
Well, isn't it worse than that? It's not a statement of fact. Your hypothetical is a statement of fact.
Well, my statement is that it's an expression, it's not an admission, but a response that isn't an admission.
Well, my point is that your client gave an opinion, not a statement of fact.
Well, I don't think that's a fair... I think what he was saying was, this looks like me, well, I guess everybody has...
I was
win.
Trying to help you, sir, but
I understand that. I understand. Maybe I didn't understand if you were, Your Honor. I have to say, but...
I have difficulty seeing how that isn't a statement against interest. He's not stating any fact contrary to his penal interest there. He's looking at it and saying the guy looks like it. It's a statement of opinion.
I don't think that's a fair interpretation of what he said, and I think that that, although I'm not asking Your Honor, I don't want to get into the factual dispute of it, I think it's highly unlikely, or it isn't the case, that he was expressing his opinion. I think he was questioning that it looked like him.
It looks like me.
Everybody else was swimming. And then shaking his head at all times no was a highly prejudicial statement, if argued as it was continuously by the
What does it mean everybody has a twin?
Well, it's hard. It would be hard for me to get
it
sideways.
An expression of some sort that's in common usage?
If you think it, I guess I would say that it would be an extension of it. If you think it looks like me, I guess everybody's got its twin. Is there an expression that everyone has a twin in the world? I think so. And I think in this case that this was actually a key piece of evidence and not something that was simply harmless.
How many people positively I identified him with?
I wasn't sure it was 4 or 5. Your Honor is correct. It was 4 or 5. I can't recall whether it was 3 or 4 bank tellers, but and indeed the police officers that applied to trial did. So if even
the bank teller said he was even wearing the same clothes at the time.
Well, similar clothes, and similar clothes.
Didn't they say same?
I don't, my recollection of it was that it was the same type. I don't know that anyone ever said that this was exactly the same jacket that
he wore at the time of the offense and the time of his arrest.
Yes. I don't know that anyone ever said that. I think it was all done on the basis of similarities.
You might want to take these notes as to the transcript where it says that.
Look, if you want to. I'm sorry, Your Honor, and it was
44 to 46, 81 to 82, 159, and 214 to 16.
There was no question that they said that it was the same type. It was the same. It looked as if it were the same clothing. And I don't want to quote because I actually don't have that particular quote in front of me, Your Honor. You do, I understand.
But following up on Judge Coffey's question, wouldn't the comment about the twin be harmless given all the identifications of him?
That's okay.
I thought that was what I was reading. The identifications that were based on clothing, the initial identifications that were based mostly on clothing.
No.
Each
clothing is the same. You're leaving out a few words there.
There were positive identifications at trial, but other than those identifications, there's no other direct evidence linking Mr. Melton to that. And given simply those, and the absence of other, in the absence of the admission, given simply those identifications, a jury could have come to another conclusion in the case. And I think that the so-called admission that was let in put it over the top. No, I don't think it was. I don't think you could argue that the admission of this particular statement and the arguing that the government did that it was admission by him could be termed harmless, even in the face of some identifications which were very much based on clothing as well and were very much weren't as conclusive, in my opinion, as they may have been in yours, Your Honor. You may read this differently, but I don't read them as as positive as they might be.
You were seen outside of the bank, in the bank area, 20 minutes before the robbery.
Well, the government says that the defendant admits that he was there, but that's not the case. It never was the case. Someone wearing those clothing, wearing a hoodie sweatshirt, a black man was seen across the street from the bank 20 minutes before that. That is Officer Garcia's testimony. That was never, ever conceded by the defendant that was ever him, or that he was ever there.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Your Honor.
Mr. Chapman?
Please, the court, the defendant's conviction sentence should both be affirmed in their entirety. The district court was correct in allowing the admission of the defendant's statement to the effect that the image in the bank surveillance still looked like his twin. The requirements under the federal rules of evidence are not that the statement of a defendant be inculpatory in any way. Any statement by the defendant is admissible under Rule 801 for hearsay purposes.
It's not inculpatory. It doesn't really do any good to anyone, does it?
It does, Your Honor. In this case, and this is where it's relevant. It's not just in a statement of opinion. In this case, because it's the defendant who is being questioned by the officer, the reaction of the defendant when he is confronted by evidence of his own guilt is highly probative, or it's highly relevant, first of all, to the jury's determination of whether he is, in fact, the robber who committed the crime.
So you're saying it is inculpatory?
On its face, what the defendant said was exculpatory, but we think it was a false exculpatory. And where it's relevant in this case is because when they showed him the bank surveillance photo, and presented it to him, he came up with what we would suggest is a ridiculous response, namely that it looked like his twin. He was not offering that to say that he did in fact have a twin and he could identify who it was in the photo, but confronted by this very incriminating evidence of his own photo at the bank committing the robbery, his response is to make this what we suggest is an outlandish statement, and to also...
Well, it's flippant, isn't it? I don't understand. Wasn't he being flippant?
Well, I think you're right. I don't know, but I think it's for the jury to decide. That's what the jury has to decide.
So your thought is not that he's being flippant, but that he was somehow actually suggesting he might be a twin of whom he didn't know?
No, you're right. What I'm suggesting is that he needed to come up with a quick excuse as to why the government had a bank surveillance photo of him robbing the bank, and the best he could come up with at that time was, well, I must have a twin out there somewhere. And I think the statement that the photo does look just like him is very probative of his guilt, because what it suggests is he has an awareness of his own guilt. And so,
or could it also be taken as that is a twin, that looks like a twin, but it's not me. Couldn't you interpret that the same way?
That's right, Your Honor. I don't think a rational juror could draw that conclusion, but I think that certainly somebody hearing that statement may be able to draw that interpretation, ultimately.
But you don't think that person would be wrecked?
I guess certainly not within the context of the whole case, Your Honor. It's certainly not in the context of a bank surveillance photo that very clearly shows the defendant on it, and also the testimony of Sergeant Garcia to the effect, and then it gets back to Your Honor's question to counsel, namely that
Sergeant I'm just referring to the statement itself, good. That's what you were reserving, the statement itself, not the other evidence.
If the statement were analyzed strictly on its own, in isolation to everything else, then it's a straight exculpatory statement. I think
that's what I'm talking about.
Sure. Right. And then I apologize, Your Honor, if I did not understand your question. But I think that in the context of the case, the probative value of the statement is that, against all the evidence, he needed to suddenly justify why he was appearing on a bank photo. I did want to touch on one other matter concerning Officer Garcia. Officer Garcia did very clearly testify that Alpha Alfred Melton, the person he arrested, was exactly the same person that he saw standing across from the bank 20 to 25 minutes before it was robbed. And he did testify that his clothing was identical on the day of the robbery as it was on the day that he arrested Mr. Melton. And so, for all of those reasons, we would ask the defendant's conviction and sentence both be affirmed in their entirety.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Clark, how much time do you have? 1 minute? Mm-hmm.
The fact of the matter is, Your Honor, that the photo, and I do think that Your Honor is correct, that it was a flippant remark by Mr. Melton, ill-advised, that I don't think that it could be it constitutes an admission. I don't really think, and perhaps it was exculpatory, and if it was exculpatory, then it's really irrelevant. But it was highly prejudicial. And the fact is that the person in the photo is not clearly identifiable as the defendant. The person in the exhibit is the photo is extremely grainy, and the facial features of the person are not clearly identifiable, and it appears as if the skin color on that photo is much lighter than the defendant. And it's not a clearly identifiable photo. And in the context of the photo and the so-called, although we talk about it being not exculpatory, throughout the brief and throughout the trial, it was argued that it was an admission, not an exculpatory statement. It was highly prejudicial for Judge Lindbergh and improper to let that statement in as and be argued as an admission. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Clark. You were appointed, were you not? Yes, let me thank you for accepting.